I just genuinely wish my last name was that fun to say. Like, Ionescu, it's like, oh, it's just Nolan. It stinks. Hello, butterflies. I don't know. 90s throwback. 2000s throwback. We loved butterflies. I've with butterflies heavy, Travis. Deal with it. Welcome to Sports, podcast that ends with a question mark, starts with a question. I'm Katie Nolan. She's Christina.
Hello.
He's Travis. You switched that up?
Yep. What's up?
Hi. This is today's question.
Hi, Katie, Christina, and Travis. It's Lindsay. It's about 8 a.m. on Monday, and I'm already thinking about the weekend and about my breakfast for the weekend. The question is, what is your go-to breakfast sandwich order? Mine is a sausage, egg, and cheese on an everything bagel with ketchup. As being from New Jersey and with parents who grew up on Long Island, breakfast sandwich orders are like a religion and a personality test all in one. Hope your week is extra cheesy, or not if you're not into that kind of thing on your breakfast sandwich. Love you. Mean it.
Lindsay, love you, mean it. As somebody who spent but 4 years on Long Island, I can tell you she's not lying. Your breakfast sandwich order is important. I was going to say to these people, but that sounds very offensive. It's just very important. It's part of your identity. You learn what SPK is if you don't already know what SPK is, which is salt, pepper, ketchup, which is like you say it all like it's one word at a deli on Long Island. It's like salt, pepper, ketchup. And if you don't know that that's coming, you're like, what are they talking about? But SPK is the key to happiness, this woman believes. It is my humble belief that SPK is how you become the person you are meant to be. So, that being said, my ideal breakfast sandwich order has changed a little in the last few years. I now like to go with a breakfast wrap. It's got to have a hash brown in it, and that's not home fries. There's a big difference, and boy, does it bother me when people don't know. If there's an ideal would be scrambled eggs, sausage, hash browns, SPK in a white tortilla. Thank you, Travis.
Oh, excuse me.
Get my thoughts out, and then you can get your thoughts out. That's how it works. Don't look at me. When I was in college, it was just a roll. I would get everything on a Kaiser roll. Same thing, though. Egg, cheese. Did I say cheese in the last thing? I meant American cheese. Always American cheese in my breakfast. Egg, cheese, sausage, ideally patty. It bugs me when it's a full sausage and they slice it to put it on a roll. It's like, that just looks funny. You're not getting the right distribution. But a sausage patty is key. I love breakfast sausage. I would die for breakfast sausage. And sometimes I'll go off book and I'll get some like, oh, there's maple syrup in this one. Or like, who doesn't love a sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddle? Who also hasn't been hungover and accidentally just ordered the sausage McGriddle where there's no egg and you're just like, oops, I ordered the wrong one. Why is this on the menu? Ideally, if you can get them, if you're feeling extra Karen on a certain day at a McDonald's, if you can get them to do a sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddle with the egg from a McMuffin, you are living Ooh. Your best life. Because the egg for the sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddle is a little much. It's like a double folded layer of this thick scrambled egg. If you can get them to do one of those quote unquote freshly cracked, and I'm putting it in quotes because they say it, but I don't know if I believe it. If you can get them to use one of those, you are living the high life, my friend. But yeah, sausage, egg, and cheese, salt, pepper, ketchup, hash brown if it's crispy and not greasy. That's my go-to. Travis, you seem to have very strong opinions, and I bet they suck, so why don't you say them now?
Bacon. I love bacon.
Ketchup has no business being near eggs.
Okay, you have no business being near a microphone.
Yeah, okay, what?
I used to not have a microphone, and you yelled at me, so yeah, which one do you want it to be?
I've enabled this, and I understand that, and I have to live with what I've done to the world.
Yeah, this is all on you. But yeah, ketchup has no business being near eggs.
Sure.
And if this is a personality test, I'm sorry, Katie and Kate. Mm. Katie and Katie, you are...
Who's the other Katie? It's Lindsay. This person's name is Lindsay. Show some respect.
Sorry, Lindsay and Katie.
Ooh, he's nervous. He's scrambling like an egg.
I know.
A bad personality.
It's you want good in ketchup. The pocket.
If you want ketchup on your eggs, your personality tells me you're not a good person.
Okay, well then, terrible All person right. here checking in to say you have yet to share what your breakfast sandwich is. So okay. Whenever you're ready.
Give me an Asiago bagel.
Oh my God, you're so bougie.
Or plain. Those are my two bagels.
Right, sure.
And then it's bacon, egg, and cheese. I like the egg to be just a little runny. So then
Yuck.
It soaks up into the bagel.
Sure, and I don't mean yuck that the egg is yuck. I mean the way you discuss your breakfast sandwich is yuck, but keep
and
going.
Pepper jack cheese.
Oh, okay. So you get all the things that so you get disappointed a lot, don't you? Because there's a lot of places that aren't going to have an Asiago bagel that's very
That's why I have
or
that my
pepper
backup
jack
is plain.
cheese.
Every place has pepper jack cheese these days.
False.
Not always.
Very false.
Not always. And I
I've
don't
yet
like when
to
it's
come
forced
across.
on me and there's no warning, to be honest. I'll take a Monterey Jack. Monterey Jack is kind and mild. Pepper Jack's a little imposing.
See, I can go with others. That's just my go-to.
Sure.
I
All
do
right.
like pepper jack cheese, but I don't know of any breakfast places around here that are serving up pepper jack cheese on their bagels.
Christina,
Where are
what
you
are you
going?
getting on your
The
breakfast
calf at
sandwich?
work does, so.
Oh, good.
I've
So
been to work in
ESPN
over
Calf
a year.
offers it. So if anybody's looking for this very specific breakfast sandwich, you can get it at a closed door facility that you need an ID to get into. Christina.
Anyway, Travis, that was very typical. I'm not surprised. I'm getting an everything bagel or one of those like cheddar jalapeno bagels. If you go to like
Again,
a bagel
specific,
place
but
that
I like
has
it.
like
Okay.
a very wide, like they've got like the cool
Wait, you just
bagels.
came at me because
Yeah,
the place probably
I
wanted
know. I'll
pepper
come at
jack
her, but
cheese, and
she's
you
being
offered
nicer,
that.
so I'm
Well,
gonna
no,
let her talk. Shut
it just
up.
depends. It depends on where you're going. Some bagel places have like fancy bagels, and others, you know, just the run-of-the-mill
Sure.
bagels.
So jalapeno
So,
cheddar bagel, if you can have it, everything
yep.
otherwise.
Yes. And then scrambled eggs, or sometimes, you know, they just do the regular egg, like regular fried egg. Runny is very specific. I like sausage, not bacon. Have to have a hash brown on it. And sometimes it depends on if I'm getting everything bagel, I want to have either ketchup or sometimes they do like a hot honey. So I'll get that
Ooh,
drizzled on
fun.
it
That's fun.
or ketchup. But if I'm doing the cheddar jalapeno bagel, I don't want hot honey. That's just too hot. So I'll do ketchup. Oh, and
Ketchup.
cheese. You have to have the cheese.
Yeah, duh.
But
That's the most
American
important part.
cheese.
Yeah. I know it's not cheese. I know it's a cheese product, and I don't care. The way that it tastes, the way that it melts, I love it.
Oh, it's
I'm
perfect.
American in some of the bad ways and some of the good ways, and I embrace all of it. God bless America. Travis, you done talking for the rest of the. You just seem
No,
very
am I
mad.
done
I
talking?
mean, you've
You
been given a
really.
platform to speak your truth, and you spend most of it yelling about mine.
I just don't understand people that put ketchup. Like, what is it about
It
the
adds
egg
some
that?
wetness. Sometimes you
Yeah,
need a
it's
little
too
bit more wetness,
dry.
especially if you're getting it with a bagel. Sometimes it's just a lot of bread and not enough wetness, and you just want
Especially the way you have your
the
bagels,
way the
plain.
ketchup holds on to the salt and the pepper, and it kind of lets makes it spreadable instead of being in these little pockets where you sprinkled it. It's just a sauce. It's you're almost using it like an aioli. It's just there to like keep everything together. And if you don't want to eat it, I promise I'll never force you to eat it. But if you disrespect the food I'm going to eat and that I enjoy on this platform again, well, buddy, I don't think you want to see what's going to happen. I'm not going to do anything about it. I just did it sound intimidating?
So I have a question then. If you have just regular eggs, not like on a sandwich or anything, omelet or
No, I don't put
scrambled,
eggs. I don't put ketchup on my eggs.
No, it's only when
Christina?
it's in a sandwich. Yeah, when it's on a bagel.
Sometimes Worcestershire sauce I'll put in my eggs when I'm making them, but I don't use like sauce on my eggs.
I'm willing to retract my original
Oh,
statement on.
thank
Wow, how
you. Oh
nice.
my God, what a benevolent God.
I don't agree with it, but I understand your reason for it, so
Thank you.
therefore I will retract my original
Wow,
statement.
big
Sorry,
day,
Lindsay, you are a
folks.
great person.
Big day. Annie learned her name. You guys, you know what that is? That's progress. That's Travis growing. Right before your eyes, which has always been the goal. I'm just happy
Stick
to
around for 10 minutes, I'll
explicitly
let you
state it.
down.
Yeah, we're gonna get there. I'm sure it'll be in friendly ranter. If you have a question and you want Travis to get your name wrong, be sure to call us and leave us a voice. Ooh, leave us a voicemail, I said. What's
That was
happening?
harsh.
End of an era, I guess. 860-506-5571. Once again, I've got prompts from my dear friend Travis about things he wants to talk about in friendly banter. Travis, you took your selfie. I'm debating whether I should let you speak and then give you my notes or just. No, I'm gonna lead with my notes. It's my podcast. You had a mask on. And I don't know how familiar you. I know you watch reality TV, but I don't know how familiar you are with America's Next Top Model. Can I just get a thumbs up or a thumbs down on if you've ever seen that?
I haven't watched that one.
All right, so you aren't familiar with the concept of smizing, but if you were, you would know that you didn't smize even a little bit in that. Like, I could tell
Not
you
even a
weren't
tiny bit.
smiling even with the mask on because your eyes were just like, I'm being forced to do this in a hostage situation. Was that a choice?
I owed a selfie and I took one.
Yeah,
I didn't.
You did the bare.
I didn't know that there were these.
So unhappy.
You did the bare minimum after.
Oh
asking,
no, I was
after
thrilled.
Dominating our reviews with requests for said selfie. You did the bare minimum and posted an unsmiling, half-covered picture with the caption "Officially vaccinated at Katie Nolan at Christina Buswell hashtag Team Moderna." Are you proud of it? You feel good about it?
I honestly thought when I posted that I did what I was supposed to do. I didn't.
Fan Andy commented, doesn't count.
Yeah, they came attacking quickly.
Hamza Hazim commented, looks great, bro, top notch, totally counts. Got to hear both sides. Gene, the producer, wrote, I got that wrong, it's Genie, the producer, post a glow-up selfie, dot, dot. Not a full ellipsis, but two-thirds of one. BPAT18 said, I don't think this counts. Hazel-eyed Dreamer said, does this count? With question marks. And I like that. Question everything, especially this selfie and whether or not it counts. Then there was a discussion had in the replies to that comment. Surfer2701 said, no, as in no, it does not count. Hazel-eyed Dreamer said, I didn't think so. The inflection doesn't come off in text. Oh, so she wasn't being generous. She was actually saying it doesn't count. She was being sarcastic. Katya the Mick said, hard no, pitter patter, let's get at her Tron. I don't know necessarily what that means, but I love the semantics of it. It just sounds like music to my ears. Libby Kelly 5 wanted to let you know she's also Moderna gang. Travis Calvin, a fellow Travis, who I bet is totally fine being called Trav in regular situations, said, I don't think this counts. But Name Your Price said, the content I needed today. So, I mean, it seems like some people were happy. Some people weren't happy. Somebody told you to come visit Indiana.
My cousin.
Ooh. Oh, all right. Well, that's a relative. Oh, and Libby Kelly, who I assume is also your relative.
Yeah.
Doesn't count. Yep. All right. Well, I don't know if the mask on counts, bud. Got to see that smile. So,
I'm not going to commit to it yet, but I was thinking that there's a chance that maybe when I visit a bar without a mask on, that maybe then I would post a selfie, first time back in a bar without a mask on, or
and
something
you know
like
what?
That.
I know that we get down on 2020 a lot. I know a lot about it was bad and it sucked in a lot of ways, but pretty cool that it set us up for a 2021 in which going to a bar with your face not covered is a photograph worthy event. We found a way to turn photos of your food into something that actually is celebrated again, instead of like, we don't need to see that you guys went to brunch. You go to brunch every week. So shout out to 2020 for that. I don't want to give it much more credit, but I will say it gave us that. It make bars great again. That's what 2020 did. It'll fade probably pretty quick, but
probably.
Bars have always been great though.
Always. I don't
experiences
know.
Are different for across many lines, gender being one of them. I wouldn't say that the bar experience has always been my personal favorite, but I could understand in a world where I wasn't pestered for my sports opinions while watching a sports ball game at a bar in public. Yeah, I would probably enjoy doing that. So I get it. There's another thing in here that I'm to ask.
We don't have to talk. I just threw some things out there.
No, it's here. So we'll talk about it. You went on, and shout out to, the Lauer After Hour podcast. Isn't it After Hours? Lauer After Hours?
I just read this on.
Wow, disrespect.
You oh, you can't it? Even get the don't name of it care. Right.
You went on a podcast, and let me just ask you, and I guess this is for the group, for the union. Let me ask the union. You guys want to be hosts? Because you can do it.
No, I don't want to be
the
host.
Just let me know, and I'll set you up to for your rocket ships to take off. But do you want, is that what you want? How did it go?
I think it went well. We'll find out when it airs, though. Who knows?
Ooh,
I don't,
when's that?
I don't know. Maybe they could have been bad and like, we're not even going to air it. Maybe I shouldn't even be talking about it right now. I don't
Whoa.
Know. But I don't. I like you drive in and, you know, I'm in the shotgun, you know, playing DJ.
Yeah.
What I think is funny is this is so typical of Travis snacks. To show up, not know any of the details, mm-hmm. and then None say, I did a thing.
I did
don't
it.
Know if it's ever coming out. Don't know
don't,
when.
Don't particularly
even get
feel any stress
right.
about that. Don't even really care. But I did it. That's
but
what
I did
he,
it,
that's,
and
that's
we'll
the vibe.
See if it ever sees the light of day.
Shout out to those folks. For those who don't know, they're fans of. I mean, maybe I'll get this wrong, but they're fans of the Le Batard Show. But they're very good. They when you did it, Travis, was it just like a Zoom of 13 people that you joined, and they each went around and asked questions. They're great. They're really fun. I had a lot of fun with them. I was nervous for the few days between when I recorded mine and when it aired, because I remember being very casual on that podcast and just being like, ask me anything. I got to order dinner and I'll answer any questions that you have. And I was like, this could go either way. But it was great. They're really fun and I really like them all. And they made me a hat.
So. Ooh.
Me too. I've got a hat coming.
Say?
I forget. Something with a it's got a red solo cup and something's on written on that the cup.
Perfect. Just absolutely perfect.
It's just so
good
difficult.
For you. I'm proud of you. And I just remember us little people when your star rises.
No, I mean I'm staying here. What are you talking about?
Yeah, well, you say that now. That's what they all say now.
I'm not Justin Timberlake. I'm here for the team.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good. An unnecessary
that's,
swipe.
That's good.
Justin Timberlake, but I guess he deserves it. Christina, you got nothing in friendly banter. You do anything this weekend? Anything happened to you?
I hung out with some people. My boyfriend had... Do either of you know what a stag is?
Like a horse?
When a guy is getting married and he holds a stag.
It's a bachelor party.
Yeah, it's basically a bachelor party, but you just have it at like some local bar and you basically just get a bunch of money. So my boyfriend had back.
They have like
some
silent
stags.
Auction stuff.
Yeah, they had like raffles and stuff, and so he had one on Friday and Saturday, and so I kind of just laid low. And then Saturday, I hung out with some friends while he did that, and let's just say the 2-day hangover is very real. It's now Monday at 3:42 p.m. and I still feel hungover from Saturday night.
And you're young.
So,
you are
well,
young.
Apparently
it's
not.
It's not wrong. It's one of the rare
apparently
times it's not wrong. Yeah. Well, you know what? The sooner you can transition into being an old, the better.
I've just embraced it at this point. I mean, I, on Saturday, drank maybe a little bit too much and literally just had a dance party in my friend's living room. There were three of us, and now my legs feel like jello and I'm still hungover.
That's crazy. There's days where like I'll take the stairs twice instead of the elevator and I'm like, whoa, for the next 2 days my legs are gonna be sore. And that is pathetic. And
I have an Amazon leg massager that I've been using for 24 hours.
I mean, it's Amazon brand, like Jeff himself made it. Hell yeah.
I imagine so, because it says Amazon's choice and it says the Amazon leg massager. So
I feel like I've talked about this very specific thing on this podcast before, where Amazon is both the marketplace and the seller, and that's just unfair. And this is case in point. It worked. Nobody would have bought an Amazon leg massager, but it was their choice. And so Christina bought it, and we're all going to be owned by Jeff Bezos soon.
They told me, here's our choice. And I said, well, it's mine now, too.
Mm. How's it? And you like it?
Yeah, I mean, he's getting the job done.
I have one of those name brand ones. I don't know if it's because they sponsored the podcast, but I do know they just sent it to me for free. And I'll be honest, it's just sitting in a box that I haven't used yet. It's, you know, that one that's like
But
anytime
yeah.
I see like an ad for a personal massager, I just assume it's a euphemism for because most times it is, but I don't think in this situation that it is. But just something about that phrase, personal massager. I'm like, yeah, that's what you call it to get so that it's on book, you know, so that you can be
exactly.
above the line. Sick. Travis is uncomfortable. This weekend, I'll tell you what I did, and that is watched a lot of stuff. Travis, I got big, big exciting news. I am about a season and a half into Below Deck.
Ooh.
Started with the original. For those who are unacquainted, it's Travis's, I want to say, favorite reality show. Survivor's probably
Survivor.
Your favorite.
Yep.
Yeah. But you advocate for Below Deck. And I will say I'm on the team now. I also advocate for Below Deck.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you very much. Ahoy, matey. Here is one reason why. Now, this is my personal reasoning, so I'm not saying anything. If this is a value judgment on your favorite reality show, I apologize. But I think the thing that makes Below Deck so good is that they are at work. So you have these personalities who are stuck in a location, which is pretty common for reality shows, but there's the added layer of they have to work together because they're at work. So you have feuds and you have fights and you have people that don't like each other, but at the end of the day, they kind of have to find common ground because, again, they work together. It's similar with the challenge. They're all living together, and there's the drama nights where they all get drunk. But in the end, there's a competition, and they have to focus on that. And if they don't, they usually pay the price for it and are out early, unless they're Amber B and they run their way to a challenge win. But I love Below Deck. And I love Kate Chastain, and I am fingers crossed hoping that she doesn't end up sucking, because I've only seen her season one and like this little bit that I'm into season two, and I love her. Is she wrong sometimes? Yeah, because everybody's wrong sometimes at work, but I like the way she handles herself. I like her attitude. I like at the end of season one that she went up to the chef and was like, "You want a compliment? You were right. And I'm not even mad at you for being right and correcting me and telling me how to do my job, because now I know when I leave this boat, the way I do my job will be even closer to the best way to do this job, because I took your feedback." And I'm like, whoa, we never see that on reality TV. That's called accountability. And I loved it. And I like her. And please tell me, either with your face or your words, that she stays good and likable.
Thumbs up.
Okay, awesome. Are you proud? And then I gotta get into Sailing Yacht, and then I gotta get into Mediterranean, and I'm so excited at having all these shows to watch.
So good. Who's the captain right now?
It's the guy with the gray hair.
Captain Lee. Love.
Yeah, Captain Lee. He's good. Captain Lee. Sometimes he's a little hard on them for no reason. But I assume, you know, he's the captain. He's going through his own stuff.
Yeah, he's a good man.
He doesn't own the boat, right? That's not how it works.
Nope. Yeah, he's just the captain of that boat.
And then he rents it out.
I don't know exactly. I assume there's like a company that has a bunch of them.
Yeah, I assumed that too. But I love it. I love them. It's like a restaurant meets you know, a boat, essentially. And it's all the behind the scenes drama. It's
like Real World meets like a cooking show meets something like.
Yeah, the food looks incredible. The chef. Ooh,
maybe
in season
I should
one,
watch then.
Yeah, it's really good, and they do a really good job of showing the guests reacting to the food positively. Like, they really lift up their chefs and give them praise. I don't like the chef in season two as much as I liked the chef in season one. It was fascinating. I think chefs are fascinating people, especially ones that take their food so seriously. And something that the season one chef said was like, if you go on a luxury yacht and the food is bad, the experience is completely different than if the food is absolutely incredible. He's like, a lot of other things can go wrong, but if it's like a wedding, when you go to a wedding and everything's awesome but the food sucks, it's something you remember.
That's what you're gonna remember. Yeah,
right. So he like went into that, and it was also, you know, good, fun and interesting to see like a chef's ego, like a single solitary working chef having to deal with like directly with the front of house team. It's very interesting. I really like this show, and thank you for introducing it to me, Travis.
You're welcome.
I also watched that HBO show, Mayor of Easttown. Have you guys watched this?
Oh, is it good? I've heard about it, but I
had never
it
heard about it. Since having heard about it, now I can't stop hearing about it. But Charlie Kravitz, who's the producer for Highly Questionable, told me about it. And Dan is, you know, my Dan is back on the road. My boyfriend. Shout out to old school. My boyfriend. He's back on the road, so he's gone for weekends. And so I am in the situation where I'm like, okay, we have these shows we watch together because we've been together alone for a year, and I'm like, well, I gotta watch new stuff that he's not gonna want to also watch. So I didn't look into Mayor of Easttown. I just watched it, and god, it sucked me in. It's so
good. Is it good?
Kate Winslet is an incredible actress. The story is interesting. It's like dark, but it's I think the characters are really well written. There's that actress, I'm forgetting her name, but she's from, I want to say, Winthrop, Massachusetts, and she's an incredible supporting actress. You've seen her before and stuff, but I obviously can't remember what. It's really good. And so last night was the penultimate episode. Always a fun word to say.
I love that word.
Just means second to last. the woman's name that I'm looking for is Julianne Nicholson. She's from Julianne Nicholson. She's from, Medford, Massachusetts. So shout out to a Boston girl doing well and being awesome. She's got a lot of freckles. You'd recognize her if you saw her. So I haven't watched the penultimate yet because last night I heard people say on my timeline, how am I going to go to sleep after watching that? And I was like, well, I'm too sensitive for that. So I'll watch it tomorrow after the podcast. But if you're looking for a show that's dramatic, I believe it's like a limited series or whatever the episode, whatever the word is for a show that has like 8 or 9 and then it goes bye-bye. That's what it is. It's very, very, very good. It's on HBO Max. I recommend it.
Noted.
Another thing I did, and we'll wrap this up because we actually have a lot to talk about today. I went to the dog park, with Myrtle for the first time in a really long time. Dan takes her almost every day. He's so good
at Myrtle
that
stuff. Does
Myrtle have friends? Oh my God, yeah. She has a ton of friends. She has a ton of friends. And the best thing about Dan is that one of the best things is he knows all the dogs because he takes her all the time. And he can like give me the rundown of like, okay, that's Oscar. He eats poop, his own poop, any other dog's poop. So don't let that dog. So like this dog, Oscar, was trying to get Myrtle's ball. And he was like, that's Oscar. Don't let his mouth near the ball. But Oscar's energy resonated with me. He just looked very tired. He didn't want to fetch unless you gave it to him within 2 inches of where you were standing. He was very slow, but he's a sweet boy. And who doesn't eat their own poop sometimes? You know, it's just like sometimes in life you're not doing too well and you're hungry. But I don't usually go because it's such a stupid reason. I'm just going to be honest. When we started having a dog, so like a year ago, I used to take her to the park. Two reasons I don't go that much anymore. I don't like to go. Number one, I don't know where to stand. I've never had a dog before, so I don't know how much you're supposed to make sure they're not doing dumb stuff to other dogs. Myrtle has a problem with humping. We're working through it. I don't know why she wants to hump every dog. It's strange. It's a dominance thing. You know, it just takes repeated patience of just being like, no, stop. Don't do that. But a dog park, it's like you're constantly walking over to where your dog is, and then your dog's running the other way with a bunch of dogs, and so then you're like walking again to where they are. And I just see other people sitting still, and so I was like, I'm doing the dog park wrong, and everyone's judging me as like a helicopter mom. But I just want to make sure she doesn't hump your dog. I'm being nice and respectful. And I see people on their phones, and then I'm like, well, when I check my phone, I feel guilty because I'm like, she's gonna be, you know, what if she does something dumb while I'm looking down? It's just very stressful for me as a control freak. The other reason is because last time I went, somebody took a picture and put it on a gossip site. And I'm like, who
cares?
Who cares about me like that? I come here. I don't want to have to put makeup on. I don't want to have to be like, hi. I just want to take my dog to the park and let her run around with other dogs. That's just a bummer. So it's a stupid reason, but I went with Dan this time. I was like, maybe we'll go as a family. I can watch how you do it. And guys, when I tell you that Myrtle had this energy, like it was bring your parent to school day, she like was introducing me to other dogs. She would bring them over. She kept coming over and checking on me. She's just
the best. Bragged to her friends that her mom's got a podcast.
Yeah, and then one of the dogs took a phone out, took a picture of me, and I was like, "You're gonna upload that to the internet." It was a lot, but it was very sweet, and I love my dog. And that was basically it. It was something very small that happened in my weekend, but that made me very, very happy. My dog's the cutest, and I love her so much.
Oh.
That being said, do we have any official pod business? No.
So I am withholding one other little piece of this weekend.
Golly.
Let's hear it.
So I went on a date.
Wait, with the same? No. Oh,
that's over with.
That's done. That's done. Oh, yeah. That's done. Thank you. Next. Well, how was your date this weekend?
It was good. It was drinks on Sunday afternoon.
Ooh, that's lovely.
Sunday fun then, day.
Yeah. And so, and then she was asking about the podcast and asking what I work on and the names of it. And I gave in and told her the name of the podcast. So she's probably gonna be listening to this like in a day or two.
Wow.
What's her name? Can we know her name?
No.
Okay.
I don't know if she wants her name out there.
Hello to you. If you're listening, you're welcome that we covered it at the top of the podcast. So you can probably tune out for the rest, unless you vaguely like sports, but not when it don't need anyone to really talk about them, just kind of talk around them. Then stick around. This podcast is for you. Travis is a good guy. He's just got dumb opinions sometimes. He's got power through it.
And you've really, for some reason, only likes white wine, but we're working on it.
Yeah, sipping a glass of Riesling. Did you drink Riesling at lunch?
That's not true because she saw me drinking Tito's and soda. So.
Okay, gives me insight into what your representative drinks. The person you send out on dates, the best version of yourself, drinks Tito's and soda.
And she had Casamigos and soda.
Ooh, Clooney fan. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, congratulations.
So,
hoping all the best.
An update for next week.
Yeah, if you've got one, we'll take it. And sorry to the last person who sure missed out, wherever they are. Thank you for the update. It made me feel really happy.
I figured you'd want to know that.
I really did. You know that I did.
I know you do. That's why I was like,
I didn't go on any dates.
Do I want to tell her or not?
No dates?
No dates.
Yeah, well, there's always next week. Today on the podcast, it's a playoff season, folks. We have a lot of sports stuff to get to, mainly because I checked the doc today and there was nothing about the NHL, and it hurt me so much that I was like, I'll handle it. So we're going to run through what has happened in the NHL playoffs. Some series first game isn't until, I believe, Thursday. So it's kind of spread out, but I'll tell you what's happened so far. The Bruins are down, so it's not great. Also, the NBA playoffs are happening. The Lakers are in that playoff game, so that means that guy's fired that LeBron said should get fired for sure.
Redemption tournament. We've established.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. The redemption. The redemption tournament. NBA redemption happens. Was that Tuesday, Wednesday? So we'll talk about those matchups and what's going on there. Women's soccer news. The NWSL is back. WNBA is back. There's a lot going on. So let's get to it right after I tell you all about SimpliSafe. Not because they sponsor that. No, they sponsor this podcast. It's just funny that it's like, yeah, of course, that's why I'm talking about them. But every week I say, this is brought to you by SimpliSafe. You know that. Anyway, Travis, how do you want me to do? What kind of voice do you want me to use?
In honor of playoffs starting as a coach trying to cheer up their team after a tough loss.
All right, guys, huddle up. Take a knee. SimpliSafe is an award-winning home security system. I know that. You know that. Maybe we didn't see that out there today, but you know it in your heart to be true. You know it's engineered with the latest technology. You want to keep your family safe. But what really sets SimpliSafe apart, it's people. It's people. It's me. It's you. It's other people also that also play. It's the staff. It's highly trained security experts. They're always there for you when you need them most. They're clutch. They're clutch. Okay, these are the people who truly care about keeping you safe. When an alarm goes off, a person who cares, where are they? They're there for you. Thank you. They're there for you. It was rhetorical, Travis. Please. You only got 2 points today, so I'm going to need you to zip it. Okay, you do not have the floor. You did. You did. And you didn't do anything with it, so why don't you let me do the speech, okay? When an alarm goes off, a person who cares is there for you with a phone call to make sure you're okay. When an emergency happens, guys, an emergency, a person who cares is there for you by getting fire and police responders to your front door right away. Do they have to do that? No. They do that, though, because they want to, because they know that's what it takes to be the best home security system. And they do that. And that's what I need to see from you. I need to see you doing the things you know you need to do to be the best, like SimpliSafe does. Even if you're just having a problem setting up your system, even if it's just you being an idiot, because of SimpliSafe, a person who cares is there for you with a friendly chat and a quick resolution, which some would say you don't even deserve after your showing. Okay, but you get that because that's what it takes. The bottom line is when you need them most, SimpliSafe is there 24/7, 365, 366 if it's a leap year. That's how that works, right? There's an extra day. With people who care, experts trained. Ooh, I ripped out my headphones. Experts trained to not only keep you safe, but make you feel safe. It's one of the many reasons U.S. News recently called SimpliSafe the best home security of 2021. Do you want to be the best team of 2021? Yes. I know you do. Do you know what it takes to be that? I bet you do. So let's do it. To learn more about how SimpliSafe can help protect you and your family, visit simplisafe.com/Nolan today to customize your system, get a free security camera. You also get a 60-day risk-free trial. There is nothing to lose because we already lost just now in the game. So now you couldn't possibly lose anymore. You are the biggest losers. So now go to simplisafe.com/Nolan so you can be safe. Even though you lost. Let's go get them! I lost the plot on that one. I couldn't tell if I was hyping them up to get SimpliSafe or like using SimpliSafe as an example of why the team's bad. But I think I did all right. Let's move on to the news.
Yeah, it worked.
NBA Redemption Tournament is happening. Tuesday, we deal with the East on TNT. Wednesday, arguably the better day, we deal with the West, and it's on ESPN. When I now, I am nothing if not a company woman. To review the format of this play-in thing, because I think it's just the wording of it that confuses different people. You need to hear it a certain way for it to click for you. We've got four teams, 7, 8, 9, 10. 7 and 8, so, and there's two spots, 7 and 8, or like where you need to end up. So 7 and 8 are going to play each other. 9 and 10 are going to play each other. The winner of the 7 and 8 game is in. The loser of the 7 and 8 game sticks around and plays the winner of the 9-10 game. The loser of the 9-10 game is out. And then the winner of the 9-10 game guy versus the 7... I'm really... I had it and then I lost it. Plays the loser of the 7-8 game. And then the winner of that gets the 8th spot. So it's 3 games total. If you are a 7 or an 8 seed, you get 2 chances to win 1 game to get in. And if you are a 9-10 seed, you get... You have to win two games to get in. Yeah, you have to win 2 games in a row. So that being said, the East, these positions are filled by 7, 8, 9, 10 is Celtics, Wizards, Pacers, Hornets. So we got the Hornets and the Pacers in the 9-10 game, Wizards, Celtics in the 7-8 game. You're not coming to me to tell you who wins. I don't have a lot of confidence in the Celtics, but that's just me. It's not based on, like, good information. I just watch them on the edge of my seat, like, oh, I'm trying not to get my hopes up for that. Will be great if they can pull it off, but then I believe in the first round, who do they face?
They would face Brooklyn.
Yeah, and I don't know if you guys watched the Nets game yesterday with the big three, finally. I think that's, what, the 8th game where we've actually seen the big three all together. It was a highlight reel. It was incredible. It was very good, fun, interesting basketball. It looked like an and one game. So it was, I don't know that I want to meet them anyway, as Mina Kimes and I are very good friends.
Well, maybe lose the first game, win the second.
So you think the Celtics should throw it.
And then you play the 76ers.
Okay. Pablo and I are also very good friends. So I guess Pablo is like technically he's from here, but he just loves those 76ers. Either way,
Mina's been a lifelong Brooklyn fan, so it's Nets probably best. Yeah.
Lifelong. I text her about the Nets often. She's, their biggest fan, I would say. Man, I remember when tickets to their games, you could get courtside seats for, like, an amount of money that was, we, like, considered it at the office. Being like, should we go get courtside seats at the Nets game?
That's insane.
If you know me, that's, like, it must have been pretty cheap, because... I still haven't adapted to my new budget. I still live on my old one. It's very uncomfortable for me. The West games, did I say yet? Those positions, 7, 8, 9, 10, that's Lakers, Warriors, Grizzlies, Spurs. So something that was rumored weeks ago, we may end up with a play-in game of Lakers, Warriors. Well, we did. It did happen. Even though Vegas, for so long, still had the Lakers with the best odds to win the West. They did not. They are in the play-in game. A week or two after LeBron said whoever came up with this concept should be fired.
I believe that person's still employed.
I mean, would we even know? Do we even know who it was? Is it really one person? Is it one person that's like, hey guys, crazy idea? It's just funny to think of the NBA as like a pitch meeting where people walk in and they're like, here's what I think we do to switch it up for sweeps week. I think we go the play-in game.
I like to think the NBA has somebody like me on staff that came up with it and just threw it out there.
Just tossed out an idea.
Yeah, it was like, hey, crazy thought here.
Had no like plan, just the idea. They're like, how about this redemption tournament? And then just walked away.
Yeah, and then somebody was probably like, I like the idea, but we can't name it redemption tournament, you idiot.
And then someone else had to think out like how exactly it's going to work, but somebody else did it.
And then LeBron goes on TV and says you should be fired. How would you feel in that moment watching LeBron advocate for you losing your job?
You should show up and play more games, LeBron.
Wow, of course that's how you would react. Of course. Not with, I'm sorry, or like, what's up? You just like, you suck. No, it's you that sucks. I'm Travis.
Don't you care about the kids?
Don't you know who I am? So Lakers, Warriors. I'm going Lakers. I think the Lakers are going to win that game. Steph Curry is incredible. I watched a little First Take today. I do that every now and then. Stephen A. still. Best thing I learned on First Take today is that Stephen A. was in the islands, quote, the islands, for his vacation. And he kept referencing, last week I was in the islands, which is like, which ones?
Which one?
There's have to tell me when they're a certain level of expensive? Or is that just a way of being like, I was on an island, but it wasn't the bougie one. But if I call it the islands, you're going to all assume it was the fanciest one. I don't know enough about Stephen A to know the answer to that question. But I know he spent last week on the islands. And what I learned from First Take today is that Stephen A watches First Take when he's on vacation. If I were Max, that would scare me so much. He made some throwaway comment where he's like, last week I'm in the islands and I threw on First Take and you guys did a good job without me. You guys did great.
A for effort.
And then I was like, ooh. I just pictured if you two did a podcast and I wasn't there, then I'd be like, cool. I have notes. But the fact that he watches First Take from the islands, brilliant.
We would never do a podcast without you, Katie.
Yeah, I would have believed you 3 weeks ago. I no longer believe you. And you know what? I just have to accept that.
I mean, you're the one that continues to do a podcast when one of us are off. So it's...
Travis, it's...
Just saying.
Travis, we... this podcast has had 75 different supporting characters because I can't get anyone to commit to me. And you think the argument to make is that I'm not committed enough? To you, I will work on it.
I'm just kidding, Katie.
No, it's okay. I'll work on it. Why did I bring up First Take?
Lakers.
Yeah.
Steph Curry, Steph.
Oh, yeah. I think I saw. Thank you. You got it, Travis. I think it was a lower third that, or maybe a toss to break from Molly where they said something about Steph Curry making the case for being the MVP. And like, look, numbers wise, you look at his numbers and you're like, he's having a similar season to his MVP season. It's just that there's a lot of people having impressive seasons. I hate discussing NBA MVP because everybody has strong opinions and most of them are right. It's just like very tough to decide who's the MV, you know? Everybody's,
well, I mean,
a lot
LeBron
of
said Steph should be the MVP. So, I mean,
that would make
he said what you're saying. So obviously you're right. If LeBron is echoing your thoughts.
Yeah. I also said that you should be fired just like LeBron did. So it's like,
well, LeBron didn't say I should be fired.
Parallel
though.
Thinking, you know? But yeah, I think the Lakers will probably win. If they don't, ooh, that'll be spicy. That'll get real spicy and I'll enjoy it. But we'll see. I just don't think, I mean, Steph's kind of having to do it all himself. That's no disrespect to the rest of his teammates. And I don't think he would say it that way, which is always the thing. If you're the guy, don't say you're the guy, but he's the guy and he's very, very, very good. And I think it'll be a very exciting and interesting game. I believe, you know, the ideal for the league, I assume, would be that they both win and get in eventually. But we'll see if that happens. Again, the West games are Wednesday on ESPN and the East games are Tuesday. You can find those yourself. Check your local listings. What is this? I didn't see this, Travis. Did the Clippers tank?
The who?
Did the Clippers tank to avoid the Lakers?
It's just Clippers.
I know. Did the Clippers tank? It was my brain, not yours.
So they had a chance to get the 3 seed, and their final 2 games were against Houston, who's 17-53, and OKC, who's 21-50.
Houston 17-53?
Yeah. And so they lost both of those games. Mm-hmm. And so now they're the 4 seed, which what that does, though, is the only way they can face the Lakers is if they go to the Western Conference Finals. So people were wondering, did they tank? And then
because
Lakers,
had they finished in the 3 seed, they probably would have seen – it would have been more
in the
likely
second
for
round.
To see that. Yeah.
And right. So Jared Dudley said, without naming names, teams were managing their schedules down the stretch to avoid the Lakers.
Okay.
I just Lakers find it interesting.
Yeah, his point, he went on to say the Lakers will be most susceptible to an upset in the first round and will only get stronger from there. That's not a bad point. It's like once they're at full strength and they're, you know, I think it was AD that said he wouldn't mind being in the play-in tournament. He quickly changed his tune, but I think he was like, I wouldn't mind it just for us to all get
LeBron's
back
LeBron's like, hey, I'm calling for his job.
Yeah, right.
Shut
He's
up.
Like, we cannot disagree this publicly, but I think he was like, it wouldn't be bad for us to get a couple extra games under our belt to get ready for the playoffs. As weird and maybe flawed as that logic is, there is a chance it could be true that they get into a groove, and if they get the momentum of an early upset, they could ride that. So it's not, I don't know.
So like, if you're thinking in that way, it's like maybe the Clippers should have been trying to get that 3 seed to get them in the second round instead of potentially facing them later on. And also, if you're the Clippers, like, you sucked in the playoffs last year. So
yeah,
maybe
well, I was
just
gonna say, it
take
takes
care
a
of
lot
business.
Of, it would take a lot of confidence to have that approach, to be like, we want to meet the Lakers early to knock them down and make sure they don't become a problem. That takes confidence. Whereas the Clippers are coming off a bad playoff performance last year and got dragged for it. So they're probably, I mean, I wouldn't say it's what I would do because I don't know what I would do. But I can at least understand if this was their approach, why they would do it. They're playing scared. But I will say, playing scared, even in like a behind-the-scenes type of way, does not bode well for you and your playoff run. Because scared money don't make none. You know?
That's just a fact.
That's just a fact. Those are just facts falling out of my mouth. That quote from Jared Dudley, by the way, came in a tweet from Dave McMenamin, friend of the podcast. So I want to make sure he gets a shout-out. Because Dave McMenamin is a kind and gentle soul. And we like him very much. Speaking of basketball, did you see Hollywood superstar Adam Sandler playing pickup basketball today?
I saw it on Twitter.
And what would you say about the clip stood out to you?
That's his attire that he wears when he's just walking around town.
I mean, I saw somebody tweet, and it couldn't be more right, that Adam Sandler always manages to be improperly dressed for his situation. He always finds a way to be like, that's not right. Because there's very few things you could show up to a basketball court wearing that people would be like, that's not appropriate. Because, like, think about the date thing we talked about, that the tweet viral date thing. There was a whole discussion about should you wear gym shorts? Yes, rest in the most peace to that couple of 3 days. Should you wear basketball shorts to a first date? And there are people who say yes, and there's people who say no. Should you wear basketball shorts to basketball? Answer's usually yes. No one's going to judge you for that. But so Adam Sandler had to find a new move. And that move was, yeah, well, what if I wear basketball shorts with a polo shirt? And I show up to play basketball in that. And the world said, huh, a mullet. He played in a basketball mullet. He had a polo shirt.
Don't be knocking the mullet, though.
I'm not knocking a mullet. I'm calling it what it is. I'm calling a mullet a mullet. It was business on top.
Okay.
Party on the bottom. He wore a collared polo shirt. He was going, his top half was going golfing. His bottom half was playing basketball.
He was also wearing shorts that were extremely baggy, like they were from 2005, 2006, where all the players had shorts that were past their knees.
Sandler wants to live there metaphorically in his mind and fashion-wise, I don't blame him. Those were good years for Adam Sandler.
What would have made bigger headlines? This, or if he showed up with jersey shorts of a player like tucked in, looking like he had a legitimate game to play?
I mean, if you dress like that, you got to be really good. I will say in the clip that I saw, he looked annoyed because he passed the ball and then his teammate missed it and he did not hide. He looked mad when the kid
apparently
missed
he drops dimes.
I was going to say, Adam Sandler, like he likes to play basketball and he plays often from what I've heard.
I think
I'm not
Baron
friends
Davis
with Adam Sandler by any means.
You're
but
not?
I've heard,
well, didn't you run into him at a store once?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, we did.
You literally ran into him
friend.
At a farmer's market.
What was he wearing?
Exactly this attire.
Yeah, see, that's his everyday attire.
The shoes, I don't know enough about sneakers, but the shoes looked expensive. They looked like nice sneakers. So
I respect so much about Adam Sandler's attire that he just wears what he wants, doesn't care what anybody else thinks, and he's always ready to ball. I respect that.
Yeah, I respect it too. I think Baron Davis tweeted that Adam Sandler can hoop, so good for him. Just want to make sure we didn't not mention that for anybody who tunes in for celebrity sports news. That happened. Adam Sandler played basketball. There were a lot of people waiting to have next, but good for him. I don't know what the final score was. I'll check with my sources.
Are you allowed to brag after the to your boys, like, hey, I crossed over Adam Sandler?
Yeah, of course you are.
Oh, duh. If
and
you
I'll say
brag,
Adam Sandler
would
be the first person to say yes to that. Like, I'm here. I'm fully aware that if I stink, you guys are going to tweet about it. So,
and I don't think it's like braggable though.
Why wouldn't it be?
I think it's braggable on a different level. It's braggable in the way that, like, if Christina running into him at the farmer's market is a story worth telling, actually crossing him up, posterizing Adam Sandler would absolutely be worth telling. You're not
posterizing,
saying,
yes.
It's not saying you're the best basketball player ever. It's just saying, like, not only did I run into Adam Sandler, you know,
I think it's just like a fun, like, party story to throw out there and be like, I bet you didn't.
Travis, you tell a
Adam
lot of
Sandler.
Stories that aren't worth telling.
Actually,
this
it
is.
Now that you say that, it's a good to put on your Hinge profile. You can throw that on there.
Man. I mean, can we spend a day, not today, because we have sports to talk about, but can we break down the things people say on Hinge profiles?
So we'll save it for when you don't, for when you don't get us a guest. We'll
save it. No, that's never going to happen again. It's in the works. I'm a changed woman. I've turned over it. So in 2 weeks, we'll probably have this conversation on a Thursday pod. Because I got into an interesting conversation. I watched a couple people complaining about dating apps and the things that people constantly say on them. And I was like, man, there's content to be made there.
I'm your guy. We can talk days.
It's just women writing. I love to laugh. And it's like, not me. I hate it. Like, who, what is that? What information that's useful can I glean?
Don't get rid of our content now. This isn't the podcast.
Let me save it.
Yeah, I'll save it for
two Thursdays from now or this Thursday if my Hail Mary doesn't come through, because boy, is there a Hail Mary out in the streets. Sue Bird, shout out to the homie Sue Bird, entering her 18th season in the WNBA. She's 40 years old. She's the oldest player in the league. Queen. And it's saying all that together sounds mean. I didn't like the way that sounded. Nothing but respect for the Queen Sue Bird, who is still doing it at an incredibly high level at the age of 40. Those are words we say about people like Tom Brady, but for some reason when it comes to the WNBA, and boy will I not waste my time trying to figure out why, it's just not really seen as that impressive. Sue Bird is an impressive human being top to bottom. She is a great basketball player, a great athlete, a wonderful friend, a kind person. She's smart. She's thoughtful. You love Sue Bird. Whether you know her or don't know her, I'm promising you, you love Sue Bird. During a press conference, you know, WNBA is back. She said that she found out her teammate, Herbert Harrigan, that's her name?
Yep.
She's 22. She's the same age as her mom. Her quote was, although I found out today, oh my gosh, guys, this is just terrible. I found out today that my new teammate, Kiki, her mom, is my age. We have the same birthday. Like, she's 40 the same way I'm 40. She was like, oh, no worries. She's a young mom. And I'm like, she's a mom to my teammate. She's like, she's excited to meet you. And I was like, yeah, she probably wants to, like, hang out and get drinks. We're the same age.
That's incredible.
So funny. It's so funny. I'm not even doing her justice the way she says it. It's just, that must be so, I don't even know. It must be very interesting.
It's got to also be difficult in ways that when you want to, like, hang out with your teammates, you're just living two different lives.
Yeah.
To get to know them. And, like, if I was that age, maybe it's different because I'm not up on, like, pop culture, but I'd be, like, so lost in a locker room if I was 40 dealing with 20-year-olds.
Yeah, but Sue's cool.
Oh, that's she's awesome. I think that
she's a cool mom. She's, you keep me young. That's
it's an interesting thing to think about, because I remember my dad was joking about it one time where he's like, yeah, the older you get, he said, it's just a weird thing to think about how I am older than every single player in the National Football League. Mm-hmm. He's like, I watch these games every weekend and it's just an odd thing to realize. I am older than all of them.
It's something that happens around your 30s, a couple years before or a couple years after, where you start to watch sports and you're bringing the same energy you've always brought if you're a lifelong sports fan. When suddenly a story comes out, and it usually happens when a player that you know, a famous player that maybe is just out of the league or is just about to be out of the league, their son starts making headlines. And you're like, what? I don't want to do this. Can we stop? Can we just stop the train for a second? Because this is going too far. Why is that one playing? And we're hearing, how old is he? He's got to be like 6. And then you're like, oh, he's 17. All right. So he's coming in. Okay.
Yeah. Like, if you're a famous athlete, you can't name your kid after you, because then it's even worse when it's Patrick Sertan II. Like, oh
my God, it's just that junior is a constant reminder of, like, we get it. Not the one you grew up with. It's the next generation's version.
It's the new fresh one.
Oy. And I know that brings a whole wealth of issues for the actual children. I'm not saying that our problem with it is the biggest, but that moment,
I think it's bigger.
Everyone's had that moment. I've watched it happen on Twitter many times where a bunch of people are like, sorry, coming to grips with my own age because the child of this player is now doing well on a basketball team. It's tough.
So because it's such a strange thing as a fan to, like, realize, like, I'm getting older and these players just, they're getting younger. So it's such an odd thing. I can only imagine Sue Bird being like, oh, man. Yeah, I'm just, here I am.
But Kiki's mom, if you know what's good for you, absolutely use this. Use your daughter to become friends with Sue Bird and just be chill about it. Just be chill about it. Just be like, it's super impressive that you do this. I barely go to Pilates on Saturdays. Like, it just make sure you it, just use it, because you will get the coolest friend out of the deal. And that would be pretty sweet. But I also don't blame Sue if she finds reasons to cancel plans with her teammate's mom, because it would be a reminder that she is the age of her teammate's mom. I see both sides. I absolutely see both sides. Shout out to the homie, Sue Bird. Sabrina Ionescu, she plays for the New York Liberty. The WNBA season started on Friday, and in their first game of the season, she hit a game-winning three-pointer, buzzer beater. It was incredible. It lifted them up over the Indiana Fever. They won 90-87. What a player she is. It's her fourth game. She got injured last season, correct?
Yep. It was impressive.
Impressive. And she also arrived at the game wearing a Kobe jersey in honor of him, because he's being inducted into the Hall of Fame. All around great story. She's just so calm. Cool.
She's such a, she is such a role model in every sense of the word. She is, because she is so, she's just so awesome. And everything also,
I wish
she
my
does
last
and...
name, I just genuinely wish my last name was that fun to say.
It like, is a
Ionescu,
it is fun to say.
It's like, oh, it's just Nolan. It stinks. But anyway, shout out her. Shout out to the WNBA. Shout out to Monica McNutt, a new friend of mine who I've been working HQ with. She was on the coverage this weekend. Fantastic. She's a blast. And we love her. So probably upcoming Thursday episode, if we're being honest. But maybe she'll reschedule.
Love the teaser.
We'll end up talking about Hinge instead.
Until she says that I'm not available because I'm calling a game. And
until she
we
says
talk
I'm not available
because
I'm busy. Yeah, why are you thinking I'm not busy? Everybody's busy, including the NFL. They're just like me. In the sense that they have trouble with their schedule. The trouble with the schedule is that I'm sure you'll remember, but I'll remind you anyway, the NFL has expanded the regular season to 17 games. Obviously, players aren't that happy about this, but you know who else isn't that happy about it? Would be fantasy football people, who I still identify as a member of that group, though I took last year off, which I still stand by. I was nervous that COVID was going to mess up my season and it was going to frustrate me. I won the season before.
So you opted out?
I took a season off. I opted out. Like many members of the New England Patriots, I was just like,
it's fair. You got to worry about your safety first.
Yeah, I'm like, the season's not for me. Simply Safe taught me, if they taught me anything, it's that my safety is a priority and getting phone calls from people I care about is also important.
You can't be asking your team to go out there and play if you aren't.
Exactly.
You know.
So also Tom Brady probably had something to do with it. I don't know. I was hurt. I was in my feelings. But when the expansion to 17 games happened, the NFL decided that week 14 would be the last bye week. And the problem with that, as our old friend Pete King, not Peter, just regular old Pete,
nope,
Pistol
Pete,
Pete, Pistol Pete King pointed out, that's the first week of the playoffs, week 14. And so what they're saying is that the ESPN leagues will likely apply a cumulative approach to that postseason round, with the game stretching over 2 weeks and eight quarters. That sounds like a huge pain in the butt for me. Basically, the problem is bye weeks throughout the fantasy football season you can account for, but in those playoffs starting in week 14, because they have to do the playoffs of the, this is for anyone who doesn't know fantasy football, you have to do the playoffs before the playoffs happen, because you may have a guy on a team who puts up a lot of numbers, but he's not going to make it to the playoffs. And so your team would be completely different if the playoffs started while you were in your fantasy football playoffs. I know there's leagues that do it differently. We're just kind of talking about the general consensus. And so now if there's a bye week that goes up to 14 and you've got a guy that you can't count on to play for you in the playoffs, let's say like your running back, because they have a bye week, that's going to be tough. And so they're going to make it cumulative and maybe make it 2 weeks that count as one score.
Or push it back, or push the start back of the playoffs a week.
Which I think I would do.
Which seems like the simplest way to fix it.
Yeah, that seems like that's
the
easiest way.
But it was there
way.
For a reason, you know? It was there so you could get it out of the way before the playoffs started. And I mean, but look, there was always issues with sometimes there were teams who got in and then didn't start their guys anyway. So there's always
been stuff.
Yeah, all
of a sudden Peyton Manning's on the bench on the final week.
Yeah. There's always been stuff you have to account for. I think what people need to remember, and boy, do they not like being reminded of this, it's that fantasy football is a secondary market to the original market, which is football. And while I think it's important for people who play the actual game or run the actual sport to understand that a large portion of their audience are fantasy football players, I don't think that it would make a lot of sense to give them that much credit that you would make decisions differently for your league. I'm not saying I support a 17-game season. I'm just saying that I don't think the NFL probably wondered how this would affect fantasy football play.
100%. They didn't even think about it.
I think they knew about it and did it on purpose.
Well, if that's the case, that would be a real problem, because then it would show contempt for your audience, which nobody wants. You can't be like, we don't care about you. Fantasy football, everybody's got their opinions. Some people say that it makes kids not like teams as much as they used to, and maybe that's true, but I also think it gets a lot of people interested in more games than just their team's game. It's made things like Red Zone or the DirecTV package, whatever that's called. What's it called?
Sunday Ticket.
Thank you. It's made things like Sunday Ticket more valuable, and it's made more people want those things because they've got more on the line. So there is a true value to them.
But if a fan says you don't care about it, they say, but we just gave you an extra week of football.
Yeah, and that's, you're right. That is how the NFL thinks of it. But I'm saying I think that's probably not a good approach towards your fandom in the long run. But I will agree that I don't think it should affect them making decisions like this. But it is something, if you work for the NFL, to consider ways in which you can, I don't know, just think about it. We're going to get to more news in a second, but today's podcast also brought to you by Brooklinen, the sheet people. That's me saying that. That's not their slogan. So, Travis, how do you want me to tell them about these huge pieces of sheet?
Summer's here, so as if you're a lifeguard yelling at kids who won't listen to you.
I've never once even dabbled in life guardianship, but let's try it.
But I have a feeling you were on the other end.
No, I don't think I've swam in many public pools. Not for any reason other than just I don't go out, you know?
Oh.
Even before the whole pandemic.
It was kinda not as like a kid?
Staying in. No, I would. My aunt had a pool for a while. My best friend growing up had an above ground pool, which was, you know, good enough for what I needed it for then. But I mean, if I could have landed a friend with an in-ground pool, I really would have been in making it, you know?
Should have been my friend.
Never gonna happen. Let me just get into character here. That's my whistle.
Oh,
that's good.
If your everyday has started to feel ordinary, transform it into something magical by upgrading your bedding, loungewear, towels, robes. Step into the new season in style and comfort and get it all from one place. Brooklinen. Okay? Hey, no running. Brooklinen was started to create beautiful, high-quality home essentials that don't cost an arm and a leg. God. Excuse me, Brooklinen. Works directly with manufacturers to make luxury available directly to you without the luxury level markup, so you get their amazing array of products at a reasonable price. I'm not asking for much here. I hate this job. Oh, man. Hey, you, Brooklinen, has something for every comfort need. For your every comfort need, ideal for a seasonal refresh because they're launching new products, colors, patterns all the time. I've seen the colors and patterns you bring in here. It's time for a refresh, okay? Got my eyes on you. Got eyes in the back of my head, too. So don't try anything. I'm talking buttery soft and breathable sheets, okay? Plush, absorbent towels, cozy robes, comfy loungewear you want to put on and never take off. Is anybody listening to me? You over there in the blue trunks, give yourself the comfort refresh you deserve and get it for less at Brooklinen. Go to brooklinen.com. It's promo code sports. That's promo code sports. That's a great promo code. I can't believe we got that. That's awesome. Somebody might use that by accident. Makes us look good. Sorry. Going off book. $20 off with a minimum purchase of $100. That's brooklinen.com. And enter promo code sports for $20 off with a minimum purchase of $100. That's great. There's poop in the pool. Everybody out. There's poop in the pool. And scene. That's me as a lifeguard. Thank you. Thank you. The headline on this next story Travis wrote is, there's a place in hell for this guy. Does it give me the information I need to discuss it with you? No.
Does sure it give
me a feeling that makes me want to know more about it? Sure does. Here's what happened. First of all, I need you to tell me how to say the name of this school because I don't know.
It's Austin P. I think it's Wantarius.
Austin P, like urine. You yeah. don't, the Y is just there for show.
Yeah, because yeah, and their chant is, let's go P. Let's go,
that's
Pete.
Great. Oh,
Austin,
that's fantastic.
P-E-A, why is that even there? So anyway, this guy who was a DB at Austin P. I mean, so many letters happening. The DBP, Wantarius Bryant, he received a text offering that was supposedly from Falcons defensive coordinator Dean Pease, and you see the P connection, so you totally understand. He got a text saying he'd been offered a minicamp tryout, and so he was super thrilled. He spoke to the student newspaper at Austin Peay. He was like, my heart was just racing. I was filled with joy and relieved just because I'm able to get an opportunity. The first thing I did was call my parents and tell my fiance, because they've been in my corner the whole time that I've been going through this, and staying in my ear telling me not to give up. And so then on Monday, because what?
You already missed part of it.
No, I know. I'm going back to that. I'm telling the story in the correct order, not the order you put it in the document.
Ooh.
So he shows up to the tryout, goes to Atlanta on Monday, correct? He shows up to participate in the Hub football camp.
No.
What? That's the same. What are you talking about?
No. So he thought he
that's
had
a separate.
On Monday, this is an update.
That's updated. Okay, fine. So he goes down to mini camp to what he thinks is his mini camp tryout, and come to find out it was a person impersonating the Falcons defensive coordinator. So it was not real. I'm having a hard time finding the silver lining in this story. It's such a bummer to hear him be like, I called the people I love. I told them I got a shot. And then meanwhile, it was a very mean and hurtful
so
prank.
So the silver lining is that final
That's not good enough
here.
For me. But the silver lining apparently is on Monday, Bryant was among the players invited to participate in the Hub football camp, which was founded by agent Don Yee. Representatives of NFL teams, including the Falcons, are scheduled to be in attendance at the event, which will take place in San Diego. Sorry about this plane flying directly above my apartment. Will take place in San Diego on Sunday. So he's going to be at this camp where a bunch of NFL representatives will be, where he may potentially get the chance that he was promised, which stinks. And this is why, folks, I hate April Fool's Day. I understand that it's not April Fool's Day, but this feeling I have right now for Wontarius Bryant is the feeling I have on April Fool's. It's just an entire day devoted to lying to people.
It's just mean.
For what?
It's mean.
It's just a mean prank.
Well, it's also, at least with April Fool's, if done correctly, it's someone that, like, a loved one, and it's...
If
it's a fun,
correctly.
Practical joke.
If done correctly, but a lot of people use it as a pass.
But this
lie.
But you don't go up to, like, on April Fool's, you're not just, like, fooling, like, people you don't know.
Eh.
And this jackwagon just...
Jackwagon!
Love it.
Love
it. Decides that he wants to reserve a spot in hell and
I just don't understand.
Say hi to Art Briles, you know?
Yeah, I just don't understand what was the point of this. And what's the point of doing, like, why? There is no point to reaching out to this poor kid and promising him something that's just not true. And then it's just mean. Why? I want to know why.
Conspiracy theory. Because
I hope Wontarius should put his number out there on social media.
I don't think that's ever a good idea. Wontarius, if you're listening, which you're not, please don't take that advice. Do not give your number out to the internet.
No. Put out the person that...
Oh, the number of the
catfished
person.
Catfished
him. Yeah, it was probably a Google voice. It was probably like a one-time use. It happens. I get texts all the time for people that are not actual people.
Were the dot was the message blue or green, Wontarius?
Good question. A very good question. That'll narrow it down. Do they have an iPhone or no?
If the answer is yes. If I get a number and it's green, I'm like,
Yeah. Well, most people feel that way whenever they get a text from a message that they don't, a number that they don't know. Conspiracy theory, because that's what you do when you don't want to accept, when you're confronted with how cruel and mean humans can be. You're like, there's got to be a better explanation. So conspiracy theory, Dean Pease texted the wrong guy and then was like, oh, I didn't text you that.
Yeah, and then you're like too far in and you're like, ough,
yeah,
I'm gonna pack
send
out
the
now.
Text to a wrong person. And then
yeah,
you're like,
then you'd be like, whose number is this?
Yeah. So maybe that's not what happened. Maybe what actually happened is actually the simplest explanation, which is that people are just mean and cruel sometimes.
Occam's razor.
Yep. And they want to, they like to cut down. It's tall poppy syndrome or whatever. But you know what? Thoughts and also prayers with Wontarius Bryant. I hope that he gets his shot. And look, adversity is bad, but it can also be the thing that propels you to greatness. And so I hope that the latter is what happens to you. And we wish you all the best of luck. And hopefully in a week, we've got an updated story where he has a job. And then, you know, I expect all those people who got mad about a woman kicking in college football saying that she just got some sort of a handout from wokeness to say the same thing about Wontarius Bryant, who just must have gotten a handout because teams felt bad. Oh, just kidding. That won't happen. And it shouldn't happen, but it shouldn't happen for women either. But I digress. The Detroit Lions, it says here, are getting a real lion, but there's a question mark at the end of the headline. Travis, are they getting a lion or not? It feels
important. I'm intrigued.
They're not going to get one.
I mean, you wrote Detroit Lions to get a real lion. If you don't want me to believe that, then change. Yeah, so I'm asking you.
If you don't want me to question it.
I'm asking you the question, Travis. Are they getting a lion? Where is the story coming from? Give me the download. Give me the 411.
Dan Campbell was on Part of My Take and was saying that he wants to get a lion. And he
wants a pet lion.
Yeah, and he said he'll really be my pet. We'll just walk around the building. We'll go out to practice. We're in on 7-on-7. Like,
I think you know what? Not to be a cop, not to be the cop of the podcast, but from the way, the flippancy with which he's treating the ownership of this lion, I don't think we should legally allow Dan Campbell to have a lion. I'm not familiar with the local laws, so I don't know if it is already illegal, but if it's not, specifically Dan Campbell, I'd like to make it illegal, because I don't think you should be bringing a lion to walk around a building or to go out to practice or to be in 7-on-7. To me, he's just treating my opinion, this
like it's just his dog. Like, he's bringing his dog to practice.
Yeah. Yep, doesn't seem right to me.
I do think, though, that every company, team, whatever, should have a pet dog that just roams the hallways at your office or whatever.
Remember the Hard Knocks season with the Browns when they had that big dog that would walk around through the office? It was so
then
cute.
At nighttime, you know, you could take it home one night, another person, like, you bring it back in the next day.
Well, now I feel like we're in kindergarten and it's a turtle. Yeah. I don't know if that's a good idea.
I think
it's like the class hamster and everybody gets to take a turn on the weekend.
That's how you end up with an Oscar eating its own poop. You can't give that thing you can't put an animal in foster care like that.
But
you
think
gotta
about it.
Give it a permanent home.
It would boost employee morale at every company.
Maybe. A lot. You know what, Travis? I don't like saying the sentence out loud. It's a truth about the universe that I'm uncomfortable with, but there are people out there who don't like dogs.
Well, then they should be unemployed.
Wow.
He's not kidding.
Awful announcing. Write the headline. Katie Nolan's producer / recent guest on Lauer After Hour or Hours. Travis Rockhold, famously unsmizing, face-covered selfie haver, says that people who don't like dogs should remain unemployed for the entirety of their lives. You can put some of that in quotes because he said it, but you can embellish because I've noticed in the news media that's a thing you can do.
And then also think about how many dogs in shelters would have a home now.
Yeah, all right.
True. Okay.
I mean, that's... Okay. So the story there was the Detroit Lions coach made a joke about wanting a lion, but in making that said joke showed that he does not have the responsibility to do so.
All I know is Dan Campbell was talking about like eating some kneecaps. Like, if you have a lion, you're just going to get a person eaten, like, gone.
Dan Campbell shouldn't be allowed to have a lion because he advocated to go full Army Hammer at the beginning of the season. He was like, we're going to eat you. We're going to eat your kneecaps. And it was just like, coach, what's up? What are we doing?
Like,
a guy like that doesn't get a lion. We all remember, I know it feels like 7 years ago, but a short year ago, we all watched Tiger King. You don't give a guy like that a lion, things get out of hand. So I would say.
I'm okay with tackling a player, coach, but I'm not going to bite his kneecap. Is that okay?
Would you bite a lion's kneecaps?
No.
No? You had to think about it?
There was no thinking. It was just.
I mean, you
shocked.
Pause.
Yes.
Do lions have kneecaps?
Yeah, do they have kneecaps?
Oh, Dan Campbell, kneecaps, the Detroit Lions' new head coach, is the thing that comes up. What non-human.
Of course.
Here's an Ask Reddit. What non-human animals have kneecaps? So dogs do. Dogs have kneecaps, along with most other mammals and probably lots of other animals, too. See, sometimes you can't trust Reddit. The patella serves a few purposes, but the most important is to increase the mechanical advantage, parentheses, leverage, of the quadriceps muscles. Knee extension is the strongest human movement, and that is in part due to the kneecap moving the line of action of the quadriceps muscles. I fell asleep halfway through the sentence.
This is a lot.
Further away from the center of rotation of your knee joint.
Let's just move to the next story.
Yeah. All right.
Dan Campbell, you're not getting a lion.
Dan Campbell, no lion for you. Sorry. Did I
Everybody
skip the
like
NHL
dogs.
Playoffs? Did I skip it? Was that supposed to be in the first? It was.
Sure did.
We should talk about them now because I'm like, we're getting into whether the Detroit Lions need a lion. Actually, before I do that, Rose Lavelle and Sam Mewis are coming back to the NWSL. They left in 2020. In August, they went to Manchester City. When they got there, they helped lead the team to its third FA Cup trophy in the last four seasons. Mewis scored in the final. Rose, shout out Rose Lavelle, dealt with injuries while she was over there. She's 26. She only started three games, but she did score on Sunday in her final appearance for the club. They're coming back. So Sam Mewis is going to the Courage. She was 2020 U.S. Soccer Female Player of the Year. She came back. She's back to the Courage, and she just signed a two-year contract, so she's there through the 2023 season. Rose Lavelle's going to play for OL Reign. They acquired her rights from the Washington Spirit back in August.
The OL Reign?
That's right.
Where's that team located at?
That's in Washington State. So she was at Washington Spirit, which is the D.C. team, and now she's playing OL Reign. OL's like the company that owns them.
Gotcha.
So that's where Megan Rapinoe plays.
Takes a lot of courage for her to come back.
Travis, I get it. I see it, but I don't respect it, and I won't laugh at it. What else? Anything about that matters? Not really. Oh, yeah. Abby Dahlkemper staying there. She's staying in City. She left the Courage for City in January. She's on a 2.5-year deal. So Dahlkemper is staying there. They are coming back. So that's just news. NWSL season's back. Find a team, support them, watch them wherever you can. It's kind of a rite of passage when you watch the NWSL to spend the first 30 minutes of the first game you try to watch trying to find it somewhere. So enjoy that. Google is your friend.
It's like Netflix.
Yeah. You'll get it eventually. And boy, will it be rewarding when you do. The NHL playoffs are happening. The Bruins kicked it off against the Washington Capitals on, what was that, Saturday? The days all blur together when Dan leaves on Thursdays. I have like three Saturdays, a Friday, and a Sunday. Capitals played the Bruins. The Capitals won 3-2 in overtime. So that series is... Why are you clapping? What does that team matter to you in some way? Or are you just clapping at the loss of my team?
I'm a big fan of Ovechkin.
Oh, okay. You and everybody else. The Caps big have a rookie...
Big fan of Tom Wilson.
The Caps have a rookie goalie... and even then he left in the first period with a lower body injury. I think he hurt his left leg. DeBrusk sniped a goal in to tie it up 1-1. And in trying to save that puck, he was A, unsuccessful, but B, injured. So he left their rookie goalie. They used Craig Anderson, who had two regular season starts. That was their backup. And now they're wondering if they have to go find another backup. Ilya Samsonov is off the COVID list. He came off on Saturday. He was on it for 11 days, so he's not necessarily warm and ready to go, but they need a backup for their backup. They've got some other options. But the thing is that the Bruins failed to take advantage of that at all. They did not put pucks on nets. The second line combined for 4 shots on goal when they were at full strength. 4.
That's not good.
So it's 5-on-5. They shot 4 times at the net, which is frustrating. Boston's coach does not play matchups. He thinks it's bad for momentum or something. And so instead of being like, man, Ovechkin's really having an easy time with the defenders we keep putting on him, we should change that up, he doesn't do that. So whether or not that will affect the team, I guess we'll find out together. Taylor Hall, who when he was signed, I was like, I actually feel good about this, even though he was a guy who showed a lot of promise and then it kind of faded off. I could see him having a resurgence in Boston. He, since he's been here, has seemed to maybe be ready to do that. He drew 2 tripping penalties, so he had a decent game, but he didn't really shoot a lot at the net. And I just want the Bruins to score more goals. So if I could give you guys any advice going into the next game, which is in a couple hours, score more goals. Put the puck on the net. Put bodies
score
on
more,
bodies.
Win
let's
more.
Go. Like, let's go. Get it done. Because the way that Cassidy has this team structured requires everybody to be at their best in order to succeed. And so I hate to ask this of you, but be your best. Okay? I'd like to see a playoff win here.
Question for you.
Sure.
What kind of fan are you? Are you on the edge of the seat? Are you relaxed? Are you yelling? Are you cussing? Are you quiet?
Well, I have not been shy about the fact that my relationship with sports has changed in the last year. The one sport my relationship with will never really change is hockey, in the sense that when I'm watching it, I'm watching it. You know what I mean? Like, hockey is what I grew up around. The sounds
like phone
of
is
it
down,
are familiar
focused.
To me. Yeah, the sounds of it are like what were the background music of my childhood.
It's nostalgic, yeah.
Exactly. So it's like, it matters to me. And I also know that, like, my brother's going to be a pain in the ass to deal with if the Bruins get worked, because it really matters to him. And we play a lot of video games, and he just will disappear if the Bruins... embarrass themselves in the first
round. I think you should live tweet during the game.
I know. I used to. Here's the thing. I'm respectful of hockey fans in the sense that I stepped away for a while because I worked at networks that didn't tend to care as much about hockey, and I was not incentive. When I started having to care about every team in every league and cover sports like that, some things had to go by the wayside, and like, I watched a couple Bruins games, but I didn't watch nearly as many as I used to. And so I don't purport to be a person who's like, I've been here the whole time, because it's disrespectful. So I don't tweet about it during the season, because there's a lot of people who have been doing that forever, and I think that they're good at it. But maybe if something funny happens, I'll say something. But usually it's just like, ooh, that goal upset me. Hashtag Bruins. It's not, you know. And then also when you tweet about sports or anything that you're watching in the moment, all of my replies will be like, how are you watching that when this is on? And I spent the first few years of my career defending hockey against basketball in terms of playoffs. And I've made my case, and I don't feel like I have to make it anymore. But I will
just say I have 20 TVs on my wall. I'm watching everything.
Yeah, right? And they'll yell at how much money I make. I got 2 TVs in 2 different rooms. I'm an average person whose house is a mess. Accept it. But please do know how many of these games went to overtime, because that is the best argument for the NHL playoffs being my favorite playoff.
There's nothing better than overtime hockey in the playoffs.
So good. It's so good. Anybody truly could win. And it's exciting. So their next game, I believe, is tonight. But I shouldn't even mention that because I don't know when everyone else's next game is. So that's not going to be consistent throughout the segment. The Islanders and the Penguins. That series is the Islanders are up. They won 4-3 in OT. I believe that was yesterday. So they're up one. Most of these games, every series I'm talking about has had one game at time of recording. A bunch of them have not had any. Nobody's at their second game already. The Islanders were the Islanders in this game. They were imperfect, but somehow successful. They kind of slipped and stumbled their way into a win.
So Stephen A. went to visit them for vacation?
Yes, that's right. Okay. He was one
Gave
of
him a
them.
Pep talk.
It's actually, he was one of them for a week.
Gotcha.
And now he has left the islands.
Perfect.
Look, the Islanders' way of doing things, for all of its chaos, got them to the Eastern Conference Finals last year. So also kind of similar that they had like a deadline acquisition that ended up making a big deal for them. This year it was Kyle Palmieri. He scored the first goal and an overtime goal. Malkin is out for the Penguins, which is going to be a big deal. He's got a knee. His right knee.
Well, they all have knees.
Yes, that's right, because they're Lions. I don't think Penguins have knees.
No, Penguins.
Honestly. Yeah, I don't. Can you Google it while I talk? Do Penguins have knees? His knee is ailing. We don't know if he'll be back for game 2, but that's something to keep an eye. Actually, they may have made an announcement today that I missed. So will he or won't he? Who's to say? Maybe Google.
Yep, they've got knees.
Ooh. Penguins have knees?
Yep, but yes, penguins do have knees. A penguin's leg is composed of a short femur, knee, tibia, fibula.
The Penguins need to score goals. The Penguins have a similar struggle. It's going to sound a lot similar to the Bruins' struggle. They got to score goals. They've lost 7 out of their last 8 playoff games since 2019. Wasn't great to start. They just got to score more. You know, they put 3 up. It went to OT, but they're dominating possession early in the game, but they're not converting that to goals. So it's like they've got to put it together and make it happen. This is top-notch hockey coverage.
I don't know why they're not having you on ESPN to break this stuff down.
I wonder it every day. It's why I don't sleep at night. The Minnesota Wild is playing the Las Vegas Golden Knights. Game 1 was in Vegas. The Wild won 1-0 in OT. Minnesota's goalie, Cam Talbot, incredible. 5th career shutout in the playoffs. What's up?
Stood on his head.
Sure did. As he sips his wine. It was his 5th career shutout in the playoffs. He's just cool, calm, collected. Incredible. Vegas looked really strong. They also did well with time of possession. They outshot Minnesota. 29 scoring chances, 42 shots on goal, no goals. That's Cam Talbot is very, very good. Marc-Andre Fleury for the Golden Knights, also very good. The goaltending in this series is strong.
I'm impressed with all of this.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm serious.
Okay.
You're name dropping.
Travis, I like sports, bud. I just don't like them this year.
It's been a tough year for me. I didn't expect this detailed of the
playoffs. I love hockey. Hockey's exciting.
I'm all for it. I'm not. This isn't a bashing or critiquing.
As Travis will remember, yeah, I know it's like a compliment that hurts. As Travis will recall, last season, the Golden Knights' season ended because they couldn't score. So, of all the ways for their playoffs to start. Going scoreless in an overtime game. Not great. And so, again, this I sound like a broken record here. You guys going to want to put shots on net and turn those shots into goals. But at least they're putting the shots on net, you know? Wish I could say the same for the Bruins. The Tampa Bay Lightning are playing the Florida Panthers in the Florida Invitational.
And that game was intense.
A crazy game. An instant classic. There were 4-0. Let me just tell you that the Lightning won 5-4 that series again. 1-0 with Tampa Bay up. There are 4 lead changes. It's one of only 4 playoff games in NHL history that has had 4 lead changes in the game.
I was rooting for overtime in that one.
I know, we all were. 5-4. Anytime you see a playoff game that had 5 goals, you got to catch the highlight reel. Kucherov, who plays for Tampa Bay, made a season debut in this game. Season debut, a lot of questions. He had hip surgery in December. Don't quote me on that. And so he was coming back. This was his debut. A lot of question marks, like I said. 2 power play goals, and then he set up Braden Point for, I believe, the tying goal of the game. He was clutch. Absolutely clutch. And a fun story in The Athletic showed me that he set up synthetic ice at his house so that he could practice, keep his hands warm while his hip was cool. You know, that's what the kids say. His hips don't lie, but the truth they were telling was painful, you know, truth hurts. So, anyway, when I heard synthetic ice, I was just like, what?
Sounds like a drug.
Just what if it were just, but ice is just frozen water. So what about it? I don't know. Playing hockey in Florida must be difficult. So I won't pretend to understand the struggle. But the Panthers are hungry, man. They want it. They want it. Can they get it? I don't know. But something I noticed in this game that I really appreciated, crowds are back somewhat. There was just over, I want to say, 9,500 people. I think it was like 96 something were at this game. And it was Panthers fans. And they were very, very loud and very excited and then got very silent as the game went on. And I feel like whoever was running the board on the fake crowd noise during COVID when it was at its hardest and nobody could come, they didn't ever really capture that. They didn't ever capture the, like, oh, fans would be leaving, fans would not be cheering as much. It wasn't as, which obviously they couldn't have, it's very difficult, but I did miss the, like, ooh, the building is eerily quiet now. So shout out to fans. Upcoming games that we have, series that I haven't mentioned yet. The Nashville Predators are playing the Carolina Hurricanes. The St. Louis Blues are playing the Colorado Avalanche. Both of those games are will have happened by the time you listen to this podcast. They happened on Monday. On Wednesday, the Winnipeg Jets are playing the Edmonton Oilers. Then on Thursday, we have the Canadiens, playing the Maple Leafs. So those are your hockey matchups. Folks, if you were looking for an entry point to hockey, this is it. Catch a game. If you want a lot of goals, you know, maybe check out the Panthers-Tampa Bay series. That seems like a strong one. Penguins. Don't watch the Bruins. If you're looking for impressive saves, you could check out, you know, that other series. There's something for everybody. Watch hockey. Try it. Try it. You don't have Hockey's to fully fun. Understand it. Just try it. It's passionate. There's a lot of passion and yelling and sometimes some fighting because, you know what? It happens in life. So that's hockey. It's happening. Travis, you're the most fired up about this last story, so I'm going to let you tell it. Talking softball, folks. I know, but we got to do it quick. But yes, I do want to mention this because, duh, I love softball.
The SEC tournament was this weekend, and Montana Fouts for Alabama was on fire. She broke a record she broke the record for most strikeouts in SEC championship game.
She tied it, I think.
She tied the record for most strikeouts in a single SEC tournament game in the quarterfinals with 15. The semifinals, she struck out 13. She was just unhittable. In one game, she struck out everybody in the lineup at least once.
Damn.
Wow.
I mean, same. I can totally relate.
And so now the tournament starts with the regionals. I'm not sure the exact date, though, but I am stoked. Softball is one of my favorite sports to watch. Baseball, You don't get TV time. Sit it out.
Ooh, spice.
Now, this is a hot take I can get.
Yeah, tell me why. Let's hear more. Because
it's boring and slow. It's pitch, swing for the fences, or miss.
They do take a lot of time.
Throw the ball back in. And here it's, you've got, they're slapping, they're moving around. It's constant action. Bunts being laid down.
He means slap bunting. He doesn't mean slapping. Like, they're not walking around slapping each other. It's not WWE.
Like, I love, like, Bama's really good at it where they'll just put the ball, just beat the ball into the ground and it bounced really high and just then
it's
the run to
fast.
First before.
It is fast. Softball feels very fast when you watch it on TV. It's awesome.
They just let them play 9 innings. Let's not this nonsense of 7. I want more.
Are there they was still, I haven't watched softball in a while. Is there still a wide range of windups on the pitchers from each team? Are there girls who do slingshot or are they all windmill? Sorry, women. I didn't mean to say girls. I'm relating to when I was in high school and there were girls, but now they're women.
It's pretty much all windmill.
Whenever we had a pitcher
that
shot slingshot, so there was two ways you could do it. It's all underhand, obviously. You could either bring your arm back and then fire it forward, or
it's
you
all
could
windmill
your arm.
Yeah, because the torque and everything. There was this girl.
There were arguments to be made for both, because I saw some nasty slingshot pitchers who would bring their arm way further back than you ever thought you could, and they would use their upper body coming back up and their hips coming through to snap that thing off their fingers. So don't disparage slingshot pitchers. I just know that most.
One last thing, honorable mention: Ashley Rogers for Tennessee. In two games, she had 294 pitches and two victories. It was just amazing to see her going out there and throw that many pitches in two games. 14 innings, 294 pitches.
Yeah, it's almost like the sport figured out a way that puts a lot less pressure on your arm. A lot of pressure still, but less pressure than doing it overhand.
Yeah, so watch
like
softball,
a
people.
Smarter way to play the sport.
You'll thank me like most things I say.
What do I know? Yeah, it's awesome. Watching softball is awesome. And also just seeing like the passion that they have for it. And if I may, Montana Fouts, that's like a top 10 name. That's a great name.
Oh, easily.
Montana? Fantastic. So shout out to your parents, I guess, or whoever named you. While we're talking confessionals, which we aren't, but I'm going to say this anyway, Kate had one of my favorites when she did the fonts. When she was like, look, when people talk and say things, people are fonts. And they cut to her and she's holding up a piece of paper that says Kate, Times New Roman. She's like, I am Times New Roman. Classic, the standard. it's not too fancy, but you can take it seriously. And then she's like, oh God, what was that girl's name? I already forget the other woman's name that she was talking about, but Amy, and they cut to her again and she's holding it up. She's like, Amy's Comic Sans. It's goofy and nobody can take it seriously. It was just a good bit. She brought a really good bit, and I appreciate it. And I'm also, maybe I am stalling while I try to pull up the voicemail, because it's time for me to play a voicemail.
Hi, Katie, Travis, and Christina.
Hi.
This is Sam from Lee, Massachusetts.
And Michaela from Beckett, Massachusetts.
And we are driving across the country, and we called asking about car games, but we realized that is not the best question we can ask. The best question we can ask is, do you guys, as experienced travelers, have any travel tips for two young people who haven't really done any trip of this size before? Thanks. Love you, mean it.
Man, what a... Oh, I wasn't... They weren't done. I cut her off. Let me go back. I cut Michaela off. She was saying it. She also said it. Hold on.
Love you, mean it. Love you, mean it.
Oh, I love you both, and I mean it. Lee, I mean Sam and Michaela.
Get their name right.
You know what, Travis? Zip it. Zip it. Massachusetts.
Made my day.
I appreciate Massachusetts. I don't think I've ever made a cross-country road trip.
I haven't either.
I've driven from Texas to Ohio, and that's...
You've gone the furthest. That's what, 13 hours?
I did that with my brother and his three kids, which was miserable, and I've done Ohio.
How long of a drive was it?
Long.
The longest,
like,
one,
and one of them was one of them was an infant, like handing
no,
it, like Travis, having to hold the bottle.
No. That is your origin story. That's why you are the way you are. That'll change any man.
That's so true.
I've made numerous trips from Ohio to Florida.
And how many hours is that?
That's got to be what? Like,
yeah,
15,
be vague.
14,
you just keep
15?
Being vague. That's good. That's useful. I will say you've probably traveled the furthest distance of any of us. I think.
Well, because I would say the longest I would drive from, because I went to school in Kentucky, I would drive from Connecticut to Kentucky when I would have to move back into school. And that's like 13 hours.
Oh, I haven't even done that.
Yeah, so it's like 12 hours from Columbus to Panama City, something like that. So
I've taken road trips that are like 14, 15 hours, but that's I haven't gone cross country.
How long is a cross country? How many hours is that?
I think that's like a day, isn't it? Or no, it's got to be longer than that.
So I know for one of the trips to Panama City, we brought a portable DVD player and we had a couple comedians like stand up acts. So those were like a couple hours long. So you play that. So you have,
it solid takes 45 hours or 6 8-hour days to drive coast to coast.
Yeah, no, I was off you. With the, you can do it in 24 hours.
45, I mean, if you were going straight through, but you can't go straight through. I would say my advice based on, I know you called me an experienced traveler and I totally appreciate the respect that I don't deserve. I would say make sure you plan it. This seems like step one, so I'm an idiot, but plan it so that you're stopping in places that you want to stop in. And, yes. And take your time. I assume you're going for a reason, but if the reason is just to go across the country and then to drive back, hit some things you like on the way out and hit some stuff you like on the way back and just, you know, don't say no. If you don't have to, if you're not on a deadline, say yes more than you say no. If it's like, oh, it's going to take us this long to go out of our way to, if you really want to see it, go see it. And yep,
I would
people.
Say plan it ahead of time. So even like,
I think they're on the trip already. I think they're on
the trip. It sounds like they're
already, homework.
They have already reached the point where they're so bored, they call us.
Well, you're done for. There's, we can't help you.
You're done.
But we
can't help you.
Of course we can. We can talk every week to them and give.
Well, I was
gonna
say, like, if you would have done it ahead of time, you could plan like your stops so that you know exactly where you're gonna stop.
I bet they did. I absolutely bet they did. I think they just want advice on like, you know, snacks, music. Like you said, the stand up comedy thing is useful.
You've got to have.
I definitely think like the if you're going to drive for that amount of distance, music does get boring at some point. Like you need another type of entertainment. And so I think podcasts or, you know, stand-up comedy, because then it's something that you can listen to that you don't have to pay too much attention to if you don't want to.
Yeah.
But it also fills the dead space.
I also think, and maybe this is an unpopular opinion, but alone time, you wouldn't sit nonstop with another person for 6 days, let's assume you're doing the 6 8-hour days thing, you would need alone time and that would be understood. But in a car, it might feel weird. I would say if you feel like sitting in the back and reading or taking a nap while somebody does their driving,
yeah, do it.
Do that. Take your alone time. Read the things that you like that you know the other person doesn't care about. Play the game on your phone that you know is going to kind of let you be in a zone where you can't interact. Don't hold yourselves to the standard of having to constantly maintain a good and interesting conversation. We're only interesting in little spurts.
Yeah, if you're making stops, then one of the people are allowed to go in the back seat and take a nap. If you're just driving like straight through for something like that, if there's only two of you, you both have to stay up.
Yeah, that's true. That's fair. That seems
because
fair.
You have to as your role as riding shotgun on top of DJ and all that is you have to keep them awake because that's
especially if you're driving into the night.
Yeah, as the mom of the trip. I will say, be careful, be smart. Be careful, be smart, how late you're out, where you're staying, who you're becoming friendly with. That's just me being overly protective of you. I know that you're smart, and I know that you are, you know, you survive in the world by yourselves, and I don't mean to take anything away from you, but I want you to know I'd like you to be safe and be smart. Take risks, but make sure they're calculated risks. And that being said, we're at a time where a lot of people are coming back out into the world for the first time. And I bet a lot of people are looking for interesting stories or want to share their interesting stories. So don't be afraid to interact with locals in, you know, well-lit, well-populated places and just learn stuff. Find out about stuff about the country. Interact with people. Learn about what people are like in Kentucky that maybe you didn't realize before. Like, see what's going on in Utah. At the farmer's market. I don't know. Try stuff out. Get to know people. You'll be able to say you saw more of this country than most people. And don't
absolutely
forget
that. Like, see the things that you normally would not have ever seen if it weren't for this road trip. So, like, exactly that. You pass by some random, like, off the beaten path farmer's market. Stop by. Just see what it's like.
Here's what you do. You go on Diners, Dives, and Drives and website, Triple D, what up? And
what's the show called again, Travis?
Okay, well, let's get the name of the show correct.
Diners
first.
What and what?
Dives and Drives In.
Dives and Drives In. The confidence with which you said it, I appreciate.
Nope, that's not it.
Diners, I always just call it Triple D.
Drive-ins and dives. Yeah, it's funny because Triple D, and then isn't his other show Triple G? This guy loves a triple.
Just loves a triple.
Guy's grocery games. Yeah, you can't get visit cool that, food. Though. Google cool food. Don't run out of gas.
Stop by and visit the world's largest chair.
Yeah, I would skip that. But you don't have to if that's what you're into. If you want to look at the world's largest ball of rubber bands, then hey,
I was
do
just
you
about to
live
say,
your life.
So was I.
But I think have it take a couple moments while you're doing it to like kind of have an outside of body, out of body experience where you acknowledge how cool what you're doing is.
Steal a license plate off a
Make
car
memories.
From every state you stop in.
Yeah, don't
okay,
steal.
Okay, well, maybe not
I
that
advocate
one.
For crimes, but I will advocate for just like sometimes you when you're doing stuff, you don't really live in that
Give a
moment.
Shot glass from every state
well,
you stop in.
I feel like I'm making a better point, but yes, get a shot glass, pay for it. They're not usually that expensive. I'll Venmo you. But have a moment where you acknowledge, like, this is cool. We are having fun. What an awesome thing we got to do. Because in 20 years, you'll look back at this and be like, man, I didn't realize how cool that was. So make sure you realize how cool it is. Enjoy yourselves. Make each other laugh. Share stories over the course of this huge trip. Because I assume maybe you're also driving back. I don't know. But if you are, you've got a lot of time to deepen this relationship you have with this person. Don't do it all the time, it's too much, but ask questions that you've always wanted to know or talk to them about their childhood and the way they see the world. You can learn so much about people just by, you know, having a gentle ear and talking to them. So you've got a lot of time. You could do that.
You've got a lot of time.
Yeah, you got a ton of time. And try to hold your pee. That's important. Hydrate.
I'm excited for them. This is fun. I'm excited. I hope they
I'm
have a
great
time.
Too. We want to hear you when you're done. Yeah, when you check back in, we want to know how it went. Or if you get bored again or you reach a point where something crazy happens, give us an update. While we're discussing, which basically is like shout outs to our listeners and updates on our listeners, I just want to say real quick, Kelly Branigan has been one of our best fans since the jump. She's become a friend of mine. She was who fostered Myrtle. It's how we got Myrtle, which is the most life-changing decision I've made recently. We love Kelly very much. Found out today that her puppy might have an infection in her womb.
Oh, no.
And so I just wanted to say, Kelly, if you made it this far into the podcast, which I doubt you did, I'm thinking of you. We are thinking of you. We're all pulling for you. So just keep Kenzie in your, you know, thoughts, your prayers, whatever it is you do. Think positively about Kelly's dog because it's a very adorable, wonderful dog. Kenzie's one of Myrtle's closest friends, honestly. And the last time I went to the park, it was because I used to go with Kenzie before they moved. So, Kelly, we love you. Kenzie, we're thinking of you and hopefully everything's okay. And you know what? I think everything's going to be just fine. She's not going to be sick. Everything will be fine. But I just wanted to say shout out to Kelly and that we love you. Is that it, guys? Is that it for this week's first edition?
I think we just did a podcast.
I think we did.
We're awesome. We crushed that.
Honestly, we crushed it. Like, people don't want to admit it, but I think we
I'll say it.
The best ever. Of course you'll say Ooh. It. Shout out to Simply Safe Brooklyn and William and Mary. William and also Mary. You know what? Mary and William. Shout out to Mary and William. Shout out to the SV Pod. You know Scott Van Pelt. From TV, hosting SportsCenter. But did you know he also has a podcast? Well, you should have known, because he does. And I've heard, word on the street is that it's produced by the best podcast producer in the game, Christina. So you know it's good. Oh, I'm sorry. Is it Travis? It's produced by Travis? That's my bad. It's a clerical error. That's on me. I'll take that. Big thanks to you guys for listening now and then maybe once later. It was a good episode, and we went very
quickly. Unless you're on a road trip, then twice.
Yeah, then you can listen to it until you fall asleep. Which you will do once you've stopped.
Which you should never fall asleep
driving.
Listening to.
Yeah, I'm sorry I spoke so. I talked so fast today. I had a soft in and a hard out. So I had to. I'm sorry. Somebody commented the other day that I talk at 2.5 speed. I also know that there's something I was supposed to address today that I didn't, and just know that it's in my phone and I will get to it.
We'll address it
on
when
Thursday
a guest
when
doesn't.
We don't have a guest. Yes. Yeah. So, I know there's just so much to talk about today. You could also leave us a nice review wherever you're listening to this podcast, which obviously we read, we being Travis, and we love them, we being me. Like this one from The Rev Flowers. I mean, ever since we roasted them for their names being bad, they have improved. They are
better.
Pronounceable. This review from the Red Flowers says, this audio medium is definitely top five things to listen to, and it's not 2, 3, 4, or 5. That is just a flat-out compliment. These reviews have never just been flat-out compliments that don't mention Travis. Interesting. Lastly, don't forget that you can always leave us a voicemail at 860-506-5571. Back to the original order. Say goodbye, Travis.
Goodbye, people.
Say goodbye, Christina.
Goodbye.
Bye. Love you. Mean it.